Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right, it's that Riot Show back again for another exciting hour or so of engaging talk and entertainment. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
And Judah Larry M, you know, there's plenty of topics to discuss this week. Plenty of fodder for us. So let's start off with the most important topic on everyone's mind. Let's get right to it.
Sweeping the nation.
Yes. President Obama appearing on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
What's that last name?
Galifianakis.
Thank God. Sounds like something you find like a rash. In
yeah, yeah.
Part
oh,
of
my God. I got the Galifianakis.
Galifianakis in my head.
Oh, God. The only reason I could pronounce it so easily is because he's a fellow Greek.
He's
That's about it.
From the same tribe.
From the same tribe is right. But big deal, President Obama. Going on Between Two Ferns, which is a funnyordie.com web show. And he went on, I mean, obviously his purpose was to get young people to sign up for Obamacare. But let me ask you this. Did you see the show?
Yes, I did.
What were your thoughts of it?
My thoughts were, did FDR, when he was president,
yeah.
Did he discuss the New Deal with Abbott and Costello?
No, no, he didn't.
It's like, it was just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was. Like, I know Galifianakis is funny.
Yeah.
And he asked him, he gave him some real shots.
Right.
You know.
Well, did you think he was funny at all? Do you think those
But that's just
funny?
It. Like, I didn't think it was funny because what happened was Galifianakis was being funny. He was zinging him. But Barack Obama looked so stiff.
Right.
It's so uncomfortable. He was like leaning forward. And like every question, he had like a straight, like
right.
very serious answer. And that doesn't work.
Well, he's
Plus
not a
the
comedian,
other thing, which
right?
I'm not, well, no, but he has been funny in the past. But
right.
he, look, these are his people out in Hollywood. You know, he's supposed to be comfortable with
right,
these. If
right,
he's not
right,
comfortable
right.
with these left-wing assholes, he's not going to be comfortable with anyone. But what I thought was interesting was, because I always remember this. The U.S. News usually does
right.
this. They show the gray of a president. Every time the president you
yeah.
know, gets like 4 years in,
right,
I remember
right, right.
when they first showed it with Jimmy Carter, they show how their hair
oh, yeah.
gets
yeah.
so gray. And I've noticed now, and I've actually noticed, is Obama's hair is varying
oh, yeah.
degrees of gray, so they've been dyeing it.
He easily looks 20 years older than when he started. Yeah.
yeah. His hair should be completely white, like Phil Donahue
right, right.
now. And I was just looking at it, and the reason I mentioned is because he looked like old and tired. And he was leaning forward. It just looked very uncomfortable to me.
Right,
and
right.
Galifianakis, whatever, just kept zinging him with, I'm not doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
Galifianakis kept zinging him with, like, you know, questions about Kenya and questions
yeah, yeah.
about.
I thought it was listen, the hackery of the healthcare.gov thing aside, like, it was a 6.5 minute piece, I think, and 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes were dedicated to pimping, healthcare.gov, right?
Yeah.
But I thought that given that, it was a, you know, obviously this was a setup in the sense that there was no way Funny or Die was out to embarrass him per se. It was clearly almost like a paid political message. But the truth of the matter was, I thought Galifianakis got away with a lot of shit
yeah.
with those questions. Like that first zinger of like, what's it feel like to be the last black president? I mean,
yeah.
that's a great line. I
yeah.
laughed at that.
And Obama gave back like, what's it like to know that this is the last president you'll ever talk to?
Right, right. Horrible stuff.
Yeah. Just,
but even that other one, like, where do you plan on opening your presidential library, your home state of Hawaii or your home country of Kenya?
Kenya, yeah.
What was that other one? Like, well.
He called him a nerd or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
He called him a nerd. He basically said, he goes, well, you never did produce your birth certificate, you know? I mean, they got a lot of shots in on him.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I thought it was good. I mean, I'm not obviously a fan of either one of them, really. Mm-hmm. But it was really, I thought it was well done for what it was.
Yeah,
I thought,
he said, what did he say to him about, oh, he goes, isn't it a good idea that we don't have a third term for the president?
Yeah.
Something like that.
He goes, are you upset that you can't run
for a third
time?
For that. And he said something about
no,
it.
No, it's
goes,
a good idea,
he goes, it's a good idea, like you're doing like a third hangover.
Yeah, that was
movie.
Horrible.
Yeah, like, I was just like, oh, come
I
on.
I was cringing on that one. That was yeah. like probably the dullest part of the thing.
Yeah, the reason I don't watch any of those things on Funny or Die is because I hate that name.
Funny
I remember,
or die,
yeah, because I remember when it was Vote or Die.
Oh.
And I remember that back in 2004.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the big campaign, Vote or Die. I was like, you're not going to die. Even if you mean it as a joke, it's
right.
stupid. It sounds
right.
stupid. Like, Vote
well,
or Die.
You know,
that
almost doesn't bother me at all.
It bothers me because it's a stupid name.
But what's interesting is that given that he did appear on Funny or Die, obviously the reactions to it with Bill O'Reilly coming out to saying that Obama had disgraced the presidency, that Abraham Lincoln would have never gone on Funny or Die.
Hmm.
Now,
well, considering he got killed.
Yeah. Well, Jim Norton had a great line. He goes, yeah, but Lincoln wouldn't have gone to the theater without Secret Service detail with him. But the truth of the matter is, I think, to that extent, Bill O'Reilly was an asshole for saying something like that, right?
Well,
I mean,
you know what O'Reilly is? He's trying to present himself as objective. Like,
yeah.
when he's on Fox, he always
yeah.
says he's an independent.
Of course
but he's
he is,
not.
Yeah.
He's actually a very conservative guy.
He's a partisan
and
conservative.
And he's getting more conservative as he gets older.
Right, right.
And, you know, even his interview at the Super Bowl, he was really just being like a stick in the mud.
Right.
I mean, you know, so, you know, I don't know. That I don't feel it disgraces the presidency to do it.
No.
But I just thought that for what it was worth, I didn't think it was particularly funny. I understand that the healthcare.gov site
right.
got 54,000 hits afterwards,
I mean, your
which is what they want.
Your complaint is that it wasn't funny.
Yeah, I just
or
didn't
not
laugh.
As funny, right?
Well, but there was nothing in it that was like hysterical.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, I enjoyed it. You didn't. That's fine. That's
yeah.
a matter of opinion and taste. But I thought O'Reilly was an asshole. I think he was just looking. And honestly, I've always said this. This is where, like, conservatives lose a lot of the people who are on the fence, right?
Right.
You could come out like what you said. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I just didn't find it funny.
That's it.
That's fair enough. That's an opinion, right? You can't argue that. You didn't, like, people can't understand why I don't like the Beatles. You know, it's like people say
I don't understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of opinion. That's all there is to it. You can't argue, right?
That's taste.
But where O'Reilly comes out and now he's trying to make it something geopolitical, like, oh my God, he disgraced the presidency.
That's
and because
stupid.
Of this, Vladimir Putin will probably invade, like, Czechoslovakia next. You
yeah.
know? It's like, that is what makes people think you're an asshole more than anything else.
Right.
It's like the blatant, it's the reason people hate MSNBC with a passion, is because it's like, get over it. Say it wasn't funny. Why are you trying to tie it into the disgrace?
Exactly.
It's not like he took his dick out on,
it's like
on Funny or Die.
It's like MSNBC won't shut up about Bridgegate.
Exactly.
Jesus, enough.
Enough already, right.
All right, he caused a traffic jam. Enough.
Yeah.
And the lesbian there won't stop talking about it.
She won't. You're right.
Because Lawrence O'Donnell loves WNBA games. Tell
but
me.
You're right, but it's horrible. It's like, so yes, I agree that when those idiots at Fox, Bill O'Reilly in particular, you know, it's like, let up on it, for
yeah.
Christ's sake. It was, all right, you didn't like it. Just leave it at that.
And he did that another time. So did Hannity.
Well,
and that bothers me because you become a hack.
Yeah,
you know, what bothers me? They also did the thing when he was, I think he was at the funeral for
right.
Nelson Mandela, and he went through that line. He had to shake everybody's
right,
hands.
Right, right.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
And he wound up shaking Castro's hand.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, isn't this terrible? Doesn't he know? Like, oh, stop. That's that line. You
right,
have to shake
right,
everyone's
right,
friggin' hand. What are you
right,
going to do?
Right.
Stop bashing every little thing.
Right. Save it for when it's really an asshole move, you know, and it's like,
like Benghazi.
Yeah.
That's serious.
Benghazi, the
and
IRS.
Saying that
it,
and, yeah, and saying that, those are phony scandals. That's,
right.
That's,
right.
That's bad.
Fair enough.
That's policy. You can go after that. Things
but,
like Funny or Die, oh, please.
Yeah, but of course, now you have the overreaction to the overreaction.
Of course, the
like,
knee-jerk to
yeah,
the overreaction.
Now I've just spent the day, like, trolling our favorite idiotic comic, Dean Obadala, on Twitter. And by the way, get on the Riot's Twitter timeline. You can follow a lot of this. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Dean Obadala had an article today in the Daily Beast.
Yep.
Where he definitively states that people on the right have no sense of humor.
Oh, please.
And, you know, and I don't even know what conclusions he drew. I mean, I don't know if it was because we're racist or bigots or whatever the fuck he said. But here's my point. I basically reached out to him and said, and he was using Bill O'Reilly as the example, like Bill O'Reilly right. is proof that all conservatives or all libertarians have no sense of humor. And I'm like, really, stupid? Only the right has right. no sense of humor? Like, who is it that tries to ban words? Who is it that tries to ban comedians? Lately, who's it been? It's all been liberals. Tosh yeah. makes a bad rape joke. Every goddamn liberal feminist on the planet, and by liberal feminists, there's a lot of men like Dino Badala who fall into that category, who want to like ban Tosh.
Yeah.
Who wanted to have Don Imus fired for saying nappy headed hoes? It wasn't right. conservatives.
But that's not the thing, though. If you say that you have no sense of humor,
yeah.
that just means any type of joke, whether you want to ban it or not, right. it just means there's nothing you find funny.
Right.
And you got to be kidding me. People like Nancy Pelosi, all people right. like Harry Reid,
right.
these are funny people. People right. like that Ed Schultz on MSNBC or Chris Matthews. These people have no sense. Trust
yeah,
me.
But it's not that they're not funny.
But no,
it's that they can't accept the funny.
But that's what I'm right. referring to. That's the aspect of not having a sense of humor. Not whether you're outwardly funny. Some people are just not funny. But when people say something that's funny and you don't find it funny and you right. don't find anything funny.
Right.
You got to be kidding me. The further you go left, the more of these like serious,
right.
anal retentive people you get who take everything seriously. They have no sense of
right.
humor. They're all, and I know people like this. You say any joke. I've said jokes in groups of people laugh, and there's always one or two people like frown.
Right.
Because they're always on the left, and they find nothing funny.
Right.
They find nothing funny.
Well, the only thing that's funny for people on the left is the shit that they are passionate, that they're not passionate about, right? So, for example, you can't make fun of women's rights issues. You yep. can't make fun of anything because that's serious. And actually, that idiot Abadala today, when he got into it with me, first, by the way, let me tell any right-leaning comedian, the five of us that are out there, let me expose the liberal comedian's playbook for dealing with you on Twitter. Step one, they condescend. So right. they say something like, thank you for that comment. You just increased my clout score or whatever, right? That's the first step.
Right.
Then when you tell them to go fuck themselves, step two is that they pretend that they're smarter than you. Like they'll typically say something like, let me know if you need help with the big words in my article. Oh, is that something you learned in your homeschool? So that's step two is the fake pseudo-intellectual superiority of the right. left, allegedly.
Yeah. yeah.
Which, by the way, Judah Laram, you know me. I don't let that shit go on Twitter.
No.
I'm just like entirely...
No, no Johnny Pitbull. There's no doubt.
And then finally, when you convince him, like, okay, look, I can spell. You know, I'm dealing with you and I'm trying to be funny with you and yet you've come back with nothing. It always falls back down to the third one, which is the personal attack or the appeal to humanity. How can you possibly make fun of rape, for God's sake? Don't you know what women have been through throughout history? Men have been such oppressors to them.
Oh, please. your ignorance is oppressive.
Like every liberal comic sounds like a whiny bitch when you confront them on anything.
Well,
like,
no, but they have a list of things.
That's just the way they are.
Right, but there's a list of things that they don't laugh at, that they don't make jokes of.
They insist that others can't make fun of.
You know, and you know what was poignant? It's something that Bill Murray said recently, right after Harold yeah. Ramis died.
Yeah.
He said Harold Ramis made fun of, like, the powerful, the rich,
right.
you know, the, like, targets of, like, institutions and, like, different, you know, now the comedians and especially liberals, they just target, like, easy targets, individuals who they don't like Sarah Palin or something.
Right.
They don't make fun of anything great anymore or anything big. And, you know, like Obama, they even asked Oliver Stone. He made the movie about Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't make him look very good. And,
right,
you know,
right,
they asked him, do you intend to make a movie about Obama? He just said, he goes, no, he's not particularly interesting.
Right. Of course he's not.
You know, but that's because he doesn't yeah. want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't, and they have no sense of humor about him. That's the one thing I will give, you know, Galifianakis. He at least
tried to make it funny.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that in him. You know what I mean? He didn't yeah. suck up to the president.
Right.
And I'm sure he loves him. Like you said, he's on record as being a left-leaning person, as yeah. you would expect most of Hollywood to be.
Right.
But the fact that he actually gave some shit to his hero, probably, I respected that in him. And I thought it was somewhat funny. You didn't. I thought it was somewhat funny. But that's like one of those things that I can't stand.
Well,
like,
I wasn't looking to not like it. I was just waiting to laugh.
I got it. You didn't think it was like, funny. That's all.
You know, like, you know, and again, I would like to laugh at it because I'd like to laugh at Obama, but none of it like made me like, oh, that's hysterical. Like some of it was clever. Right. I would actually give him more points for being clever.
Clever and ballsy, maybe.
Yeah. That he was out front like that. What about, you know, making cracks about Kenya? And,
right.
But I wouldn't, you know, there was nothing in it that I thought was knee-slapping hilarious. Now, on the other hand, it's hard if you're trying to be funny and the other guy is, forget even being
giving you nothing.
He's giving you zero. I mean, forget even being a straight man.
He's not selling at all.
Yeah, he's just not working at all.
In pro wrestling, we would call that not selling the move.
Yes. Not letting the other guy have the pinfall.
Or just like when you do the fake punch and the guy doesn't blink or move or react at all.
Yeah.
That's what Obama was doing, you know, like absolutely nothing. But anyway, so I appreciate it. But, you know, it's funny to me because it's interesting when I read through that idiotic column by Obadiah today in the Daily Beast. I'll give him his, for whatever extra exposure we give it, I don't give a fuck. Like, what I thought was hilarious is like, and in the Atlantic, let me just, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic, but in the Atlantic, another comedian who I think was a right-wing comedian wrote why he thinks the right isn't as funny as the left or whatever.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is there that comedy usually comes from pain.
Oh,
usually,
absolutely.
Usually.
Well, all where it comes creativity
from,
does.
No, but I mean comedy
even
especially.
Musicians,
yeah, but comedy especially comes from pain.
Mm.
And, or from personal pain, I should say. And for the longest time, and I think it's very telling, liberals seem to have the most to be upset about. Which maybe tells you something about liberalism.
but they're always people who have the most angst.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like if you look at guys like Kurt Cobain, or John Lennon, like they're always people who are uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and they're uncomfortable with society and the world around them.
Right,
and they're uncomfortable with people.
Yeah,
and so what happens is out of that you get that creative vibe.
Yeah,
conservatives, I guess by definition, might not have that.
Right.
I mean, we know people at the Space Guy, you know, like people like who somebody, are not going to be funny.
Yeah.
Because they're normal, like just, you know, running around.
Well, they're not
going to
be funny because they don't, first of all, if you're a conservative, which by the way, Judah O'Leary and him, I got to say this every time when I'm dealing with these assholes, we're really not conservatives anymore.
Well, I'm not even registered in
the Republican Party. We're not conservatives anymore. Maybe in the 80s you could have considered us conservatives, but we're not conservatives anymore. We're more like, libertarians. But the point is that for most of us, we're successful.
Right.
We earn a good living.
Right.
Call it the white man's privilege, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
The point is, we're not oppressed by society. Our own ideology doesn't leave us with angst.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine these poor asshole liberals like Dean Abadala who sit there and go, man, we raise the minimum wage every time, and what happens? There's still poor black teenagers in this country. Oh, shit, we have equal pay laws, and women allegedly still have a pay gap.
Well, Dean is really working the Muslim thing, so he can, he can milk it for all it's worth.
Oh, trust
me.
For someone who whines about, like, segregation and racism, he's the first one who'll always, like, throw in the I'm a Muslim, I'm oppressed. We said it before, his comedy tour with a couple of other guys, wasn't that called the Brown Comedy Tour or something like that?
He's had one or two.
Yeah.
The one from, like, 10 years ago was the axis of...
Whatever, but no, I mean the recent one was the Brown.
I didn't see
the
that.
Brown comedy.
I only know
tour,
the other one,
and I think his book is called "The Muslims Are Coming."
He has a book.
He has a book and a movie or something called "The Muslims Are Coming." So I mean, and look, I don't give a shit that you're playing off your race, your background, your ethnicity, social stature, your small penis, whatever the fuck. I don't care. Make a buck any legal way you want. But for you to turn around and say like, why am I constantly reminded that I'm a Muslim? Why aren't there more Muslims on panels? Go fuck yourself.
Oh, please.
Right?
What does that mean?
I have no idea what it fucking means. I guess, you know, everything in this country has to be according to the proportion of the number of people in the group, you know? Like, for example, all jobs have to be 50% women, 50% men, because that's the breakdown. All jobs have to be 12% African American, because that's how many African Americans are in the country.
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is the liberal mentality.
Right.
Which I always find hilarious
because
it reduces individuals to soulless Borgs.
But it's groupthink.
That's what I'm saying. It reduces everyone to a soulless Borg. There is no more individuality.
Right.
In effect, it is the exact thing that liberals in the 60s and 70s were always afraid would happen.
Right. They've now become the number one
pushers
of it. The government doing everything. They used to hate government. Yeah. When did that start, that they trusted government?
I asked.
Now they want
forever.
Government to do everything, from health care to they wanted to take over
wipe
education.
Wipe your ass. They want to take over education. They want to take over your business.
They want to take your guns away.
Absolutely. It's horrible. When did the liberals become like this? I've asked that question for a long time now.
Well, my theory on it was when they were young and they didn't trust the government with the Vietnam War and all that. And then when they got older, they saw that they weren't getting what they wanted in society. It wasn't moving in the direction that they wanted.
Right.
So now having power to do it is the way to get it done.
Right.
Like they've gone from protesting to just, well, you know what? If we have the power, we can just do it.
If you can't beat them.
Well, yeah, but if they can't do it at the ballot box, then they'll try to do it at the Supreme Court or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
So.
Yeah, and it's really a horrible situation because it really does devalue all of us. Really? We're all the same? We all have to be the same? We all have to live our lives to a goddamn formula that the government decides to put out?
Please.
Holy shit. Who the fuck... And this is what liberals are proud of. And, of course, the liberal think mentality, groupthink mentality, Judah Larry M., leads to ridiculous things. Like this week, the other big story, have you heard of this? The Ban Bossy movement?
Oh, please. Yeah, I saw it with Beyoncé.
Beyonce, Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook.
They did
Facebook,
get Condoleezza Rice in.
Condoleezza Rice, Michelle Obama.
Oh,
apparently.
Who's the one who's married to Ben Affleck?
Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, she was in it.
So apparently, this is the theory, Judah Larry.
Yeah.
Women who, of course, for the last 30 years we've heard, are exactly the same as men. There is no difference between the genders according to the radical feminists. There's nothing that women can do that men can't, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, so these stalwarts of society...
Yeah.
The very fact that if you call them bossy, apparently it drives half of them to not go into leadership positions. That's why we don't have CEOs, because someone in their lives called them bossy.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And what's the response right now? Ban the word bossy as applies to women. Because, you know, Judah Larry, their claim is that when a man is aggressive in business, when a man is hard-nosed... That's considered what?
Normal for a guy.
No, that's considered a leader.
Oh.
That's what they say. But if a woman is like that, she's considered bossy.
You
and
know,
I'm like, no,
first,
it isn't.
I got to tell you, the first time I saw the ad for it, they said, we got to ban the B word. I thought they meant bitch.
Yeah.
And then they went into bossy. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
What the fuck when you talk about banning words, period?
Exactly. I was going to say,
go fuck yourselves. Why are we banning words? But here's the other thing. No, stupid. When a man acts like that, where he's overbearing and overly aggressive and shit like that, you know what other men call that guy? An asshole.
Dick.
A dick. A cocksucker. Maybe we're just sparing women's feelings by calling them bossy. Oh, but you know what? Maybe all isn't lost, Judah Larry M.
All right.
Maybe everything isn't lost in this banned bossy movement.
Okay.
Because thankfully, they haven't banned the word cunt. Is that the word we should be using? Hey, you're acting like a cunt. Stop it. Oh, wait. Now we might ban the C word, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't use bossy. We can't use cunt to describe. Is twat acceptable? Is, like, cunty McStinky pants available?
Yeah.
Why are we banning words? Why is the first knee-jerk reaction by mostly liberals? I mean, again, Condoleezza Rice, for example, is in on this dopey movement. But why is the knee-jerk reaction of mostly liberals to start banning shit?
I can tell you right now, though, it definitely falls under their positive-negative thinking thing. That we've spoken about this, that things have to be just totally positive, and the idea is to get rid of all negative. So now, negative words. No spanking. Now, that's another thing. Just on a related note, they also have now these doctors who are saying the parents shouldn't even yell at their kids. That sets up like another catastrophic event in the future that it like affects their perceptions of things.
We're breeding a nation of pussies.
Yeah.
And not the good kind of pussy that these bitches won't give up without a ton of cash.
Yeah.
Right? We're just we're all worried about sensitivity of feelings. And listen, if you're a girl and someone calls you bossy and you start crying and you don't want to be a leader because you don't want to be perceived as bossy, odds are you weren't cut out to be a CEO. Because what do you think happens when you're a CEO? People just talk to you nicely on the way to becoming a CEO. You don't run into assholes. You don't have to deal with assholes in your life.
And it's more of this business of just not preparing people for reality.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be that one advantage that men allegedly had or boys had growing up was that they played competitive sports, right?
Right.
You would always hear that, like, oh my God, you should hear the football locker room. It's like a sewer.
It's like a sewer
or a naval base or something like that. Guys cursing. And they learned how to deal with each other's aggressions and how to deal with the assholes and how to stand up for yourself. Allegedly,
that
was one of the advantages men had when it came to being chosen for leadership positions. But you know what? That wasn't it. It was. What do you think? That, like, men somehow get a pass on these words?
Yeah.
You don't think men who are aggressive don't get called assholes? Do they go whining to their moms like somebody called me an ass? They do now, Judo Larry.
They do now, because I was going to say, look at the world you live in. Like, they want all the only thing I somewhat agree with all this is a little bit on the anti-bullying, because that's not
we're talking about verbal. We're talking about the banning of words.
There's verbal bullying until it goes on the internet. You hear some of these idiots that people
on some level, I disagree with that too, because I mean, again, you're talking about an inanimate object that you're being threatened by. If you don't want to get threatened on Facebook,
stop going
on Facebook. We're the parents. Facebook is not a necessity of life in this country.
Right.
All right. So,
no, but I was referring to the bullying in schools.
That's different. There's a physical intimidation with that.
Right. It's all violence is a different.
That's different. And there are already laws against that.
Right. But getting rid of things like bossy.
Bossy.
Is just
bad
stupid.
Bossy. And again, it's just the mentality that we have to fall back on banning words.
Yeah.
We have to ban the M word for midget. We have to ban, what is it?
No,
nigger. Yeah. Nigger has to be banned.
Yeah.
Now, when I say shit like this, people are like, do you want to call women bossy or cunty? Do you feel that you should be calling African Americans niggers? Whether I do or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Whether or not the words I use are nice or not is irrelevant.
Right.
What is relevant, and again, I can't believe that there's entertainers, there's people whose jobs depend on them talking freely,
right,
who are taking up this position that we should be banning shit. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Dino Badala.
See, they're also assessing it, you know, and I've seen this with some stand-up comedians. They're also assessing it as, I can be funny without having to use, like, a word. Or a phrase or
fine,
something.
Go ahead.
So, no, but the point is, they don't look at it as much of a loss. And if it keeps them in the good graces of all these liberals and, you know,
these bossy bitches.
Yeah. So I saw the commercial the other day. And
it's ridiculous. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? Are we going to get Obama to pass a law that says if you use the word bossy, you suffer a fine? You're not eligible for fucking food stamps or something? What the fuck? And then the hypocrisy. You have Beyonce sitting there, whose husband drops the word bitch, hoe,
and objectifies
nigger,
women all the time.
And she uses the word bossy.
Yeah.
Right? But did she drag out that husband of hers and say, as further proof that we want to ban bossy in similar terms, my husband will no longer refer to women as dirty hoes.
Yeah.
He will no longer have women with their ass cracks hanging out in his videos.
Right. Now that makes sense. If you actually said, you know, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I always say about the N-word. Like,
yeah.
if you're going to say that this is such a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Right now in society, if black guys, we were just watching this before in a movie.
Yeah.
If black people say to each other, it's considered nothing. If a white person says it, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
If this is such a terrible word, stop saying it. Just stop saying it.
Right.
If that's really what you think, then censor yourself. You know,
right.
Don't push it on everybody else. But
right.
If you really feel that this is the worst thing in the world, and how does it make you look that you're saying it? You know, I don't
right.
even think they're even thinking of the consequences.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We've never argued for just being blatantly insulting, because eventually you're going to get what's coming to you. And you should get what's coming to you.
Yeah.
The point is that when you stand up and start saying that words should be banned, in my opinion, you're no different, and it's overused, but you're no different than Nazi Germany when they burned books.
Right.
It's just half a step removed, folks.
Yeah.
The First Amendment isn't here to protect non-offensive speech. It's here to protect offensive speech.
Right.
That's the whole point.
Well, just speak.
First of all, Blasey isn't offensive. That's the first thing.
Well, I was just going to say, right? But to protect speech.
But to protect speech.
If you want to say that someone's bossy, male or female, you should be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
If it offends your sensibilities, I mean, that's tough shit. I mean, that's, yeah. You know.
You don't have a right to be not offended in this country. Yeah. There's no right to non-offense anywhere. So, you know, stop with this shit. Like some liberals, like again, I'll bring up this idiot, Dean Albadala, because I went through with it today.
Yeah.
He claimed that the difference between left and right is the right tries to defend bigotry and racism, whereas on the left, it's insignificant things like political jokes. And again, that's that justification that you somehow think you're being smarter than everybody else.
And he's the one who made the joke about Romney's black grandson. Look who's talking.
Right. But my point is, I'll exercise my right of free speech to call Dean Albadala an idiot, a hack, a loser, not funny, right? That's free speech. But I'm not going to be anywhere near anything that says ban him from saying certain things. Because if he doesn't have the right to say something, then I don't have the right to say something.
Right.
And guess what? I'm not giving up my right to mouth off.
Right.
And neither is Judo Larry M. That's why we tell people to go fuck themselves when they tell us not to use certain words. And again, I can't understand any entertainer, comedian, political pundit, newscaster, TV producer, whatever, that comes out and says, we're for the banning of this word.
But especially comedians. Because comedy is...
Especially stand-up comedians.
Yeah, no, but just especially comedians. Because, you know, you're talking about an industry, and you're talking about a job that is completely based on... Not only that you have to be able to step on some toes.
Right.
You've got to be able to be a little wild and a little wacky and a little over the top. I mean, look at the movies that Mel Brooks made.
Yeah.
No, people don't even make movies like that. You couldn't make a movie like Blazing Saddles anymore.
And for the most part, he didn't curse in those things. For the most part.
No, there's a lot of cursing in it, actually.
Well, the ones that he picked out, for example, in Blazing Saddles, he had gratuitous word of the use nigger, but it was used for a purpose.
Right.
It was used to highlight the injustice, especially in that setting.
Also, to make the white people just look like the idiots
look like
that
idiots
they were.
To make them uncomfortable.
Right.
Right? But the point is that why would you ban that word? Why would you? I still don't get it. It's unfathomable to me that people would use that.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but it's not surprising. I'm telling you, they're dealing with this whole like positive world and negative world, and the negative stuff has got to go. So whether it's spanking, whether it's bullying, whether it's N-word, whether it's B-word, and this is going to continue as they continue to feel that these things are doing such detriment to society. You're going to see this now. This will just be more and more. You're going to get more of it.
And of course, what's hilarious is that now you have more words than letters in the alphabet being banned.
Yeah.
So if I said to you the F word, which one am I talking about? Am I talking about fuck? Am I talking about fag? Which one am I talking about?
Fart? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's my point. That's my point. But now they're all the F word.
Yeah.
So what is it? The F-U word? The F-A word?
F-Y, actually. isn't U spelled Y-O-U?
No, I mean F-U as in fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Isn't that a dirty word, Judo Lariam?
Yes.
Does it make you want to go oppress someone? Fuck.
No, it makes me want to have sex.
You're bossy. You're a bossy bitch, Judo Lariam.
I'm a bossy security worker.
So fuck you, you liberal cocksuckers.
Speaking of other people who are messing around with the country and the Constitution. Huh. We have the Democratic Congresswoman from Texas.
Yeah.
Congressman Lee. Sheila Jackson Lee.
Yeah.
Who seems to feel that the Constitution is 400 years old.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
I'm much more worried about whether anybody called her bossy than whether or not this dumb bitch realizes how old the Constitution is.
I'm only mentioning it just briefly because it's part of my ongoing thing. The people think the world is 4,000 years old. Constitution 400 years.
Yeah.
There are people who seem to be very math challenged,
yes,
depending on what it is. And then, of course, she went on to make some silly point about Republicans and they'd propose something that she doesn't like.
Yeah, she always has something to say. She's like just one of the goofiest members of Congress. But of course, she's black.
Reading something.
She's not going anywhere.
She's not going anywhere. But I was reading one funny thing that said, well, maybe what she was referring to was Jamestown, which was established like 400 years ago here in the United States from England.
Why try to figure it out? You can't. You can't figure it out with her. Who knows what the fuck goes through her head?
No, it was just funny.
You're a member of Congress. Right. Yes.
And you're not aware that it was established in 1787.
Well, I mean, you know, she stands right there with the guy from, I think, Atlanta, who was worried that if you put troops on Guam, the island will tip over.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And he was asking that question of a five-star general who was testifying in front of Congress.
Yes, that is the greatest thing, that if you put too many tanks and soldiers, it's going to like tip over.
Yeah, that the island, and he's worried that the people might drown. Yeah. Hey, Dean Obadala, where are you when you're talking about idiotic conservatives or these fucking rubes from the down south?
Yeah, I know. Look at these knuckleheads.
They're not all from the right. you know, there's entire sections of the country that are just filled with rubes, and I think that's the underlying issue.
Yeah.
There's as many rubes who think that, like, dinosaurs had saddles on them 600 years ago, or whatever the fuck it is, the creationists believe, right? Just as many of them are from the right as there are from the left.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not by political party, believe me. It's just like whether you believe in science or not.
Yeah.
So that's the real problem in this country.
Yes. The hostility towards science.
Towards intelligence.
But science as a discipline.
Science, yeah.
Not towards intelligence. You can be intelligent without being scientific. But
right. The
point is there are people who just don't like science. They don't like scientists. They don't trust them.
Well, it is the work of the devil. You know that, right?
Yeah, of course it is. And the people, I mean, there's like a little cottage industry for all of these things. But there's a common denominator I've noticed. The people.
South?
But it's just amazing. Between the creation people,
right?
Between some of these left wing idiots with the 400 year in the Constitution. Yep. I mean, just
global warming,
aliens in Roswell. People. Now I saw one thing: 19% of the country doesn't think we went to the moon.
Nice.
There's got to be a reason for this kind of like this stupid
inbreeding.
Yeah,
that's what's causing it.
But no, but even like the moon thing, even that has like some educated people. There are like some scientists, and there are these bunch of dopey, limey professors over in England who don't think we went.
A lot of shit comes out of England that just throws people's shit off. Like that whole vaccines cause autism originally came out of England.
Yeah. The old guys who did the crop circles.
Yep.
Then you see that?
Then you've got the guy who actually built the creationism. He wasn't British, but he was Australian.
He's Australian, Ken Ham.
Yeah.
And now, now he wants like another 27, 30 million to build a replica of Noah's Ark.
He's building Noah's Ark.
You know, all my life, I gotta tell you the truth. This cracks me up. All my life, I'm living in New York. I've never agreed with like whenever liberals hear like a large amount of money is being what they consider to be wasted on something. They always used to say like that could have gone to the poor.
Right.
That could have been like, and I never make those arguments.
Right.
Like I always figure like, look, it's your money. If you raise it, do whatever you want. But I got to say in this case, that money could have been given to like some poor farmer in Kentucky who needs the help.
Or to strippers.
At least, well, you could send strippers to the farmer.
Yeah,
but
subsidize my heart on. It would have been better.
Do we really need to have a Noah's Ark in Kentucky?
Yes.
Where it didn't happen?
Listen, I don't want to hear any of that anti-Jesus bullshit coming out of your mouth, you fucking agnostic cocksucker.
That's
for all you know.
Hear.
For all you know,
the fake scientist. Let me tell you, something.
The great flood could have taken place in Kentucky.
Oh yes.
Do you have any proof that it didn't?
That's right. I cannot prove that. I want to put that out there. I cannot prove that some old Jew floated around with two of every animal.
That's right. And here's another thing.
In Kentucky,
if you don't get your act straight, I'm going to call up. What's
Phelps?
His name? No. Ken Ham?
Ken Ham.
Is that his fucking name?
Yeah, Kenneth Ham.
Yeah, and I'm going to lock you into his cave of woe.
Tie me to the tree of woe in the cave of woe with the stegosaurus with the saddle.
There's people who actually believe that shit. To me, that is amazing.
Which one? What are we on? Noah's Ark?
Everything. Everything. That this guy thinks that evolution is less of a theory than creationism. That there's people donating for him to build Noah's Ark in Kentucky.
Apparently, the Creation Museum gets a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
It's not like an empty thing like on some days
of the
week.
It's a moneymaker. It's a moneymaker. You know, and I'm still trying to decide if Ken Ham is the type of guy who actually believes all this bullshit.
Oh, no, he believes it.
Okay.
He runs a thing called AIG, which is Answers in Genesis.
Nice.
And according to him, everything that happened in Genesis, that's the way it happened.
Literal way
yes,
it happened.
Absolutely.
No allegories, no...
No stories.
No
like,
stories.
Like Santa Claus or something like, you know.
Oh,
these are all real events.
Do you know how offensive this is to me personally for a lot of different reasons? First of all,
you're not religious either.
Because to some extent, no, I mean, it's offensive to me.
Oh, you're the pseudoscientist.
As a scientist, it's offensive to me as a conservative / libertarian, because now we constantly get lumped in with these assholes.
I've been telling you that since the 80s.
Oh, I agree with you. But I mean, it's getting worse now with the internet, because like before it used to be limited to the people who lived in Kentucky.
No, but back when...
Now it's all over the place.
No, but back when Falwell was still around, back when Jimmy Swaggart was big, back when Jim Baker was big and Oral Roberts, I used to tell you, we're getting grouped in.
Yeah.
With these, you know, because they had the...
I mean, you and I used to laugh at those guys.
Yes.
We used to put them on Sunday just to get laughs from those assholes.
I remember I used to watch Jimmy Swaggart on Sunday nights. Now, check this out. He was on channel locally. He was on channel 9. Okay? If there was a bad Star Trek on against it on channel 11, I'd put him on.
Lord, I have sinned against you. And that hooker with the big tits.
And apparently he really meant that, because he got caught doing the same thing like
again.
3 years later, like, in a different motel room, whacking off, playing whack-a-mole.
Nice.
What an idiot.
And I have nothing against whacking off on some the big tits of some hooker. I have no problem
with that. There's no problem with that, but there's a problem with it when you're telling everybody else not to do it, because you're going to go to hell.
And give me money for it.
So, listen, here's what's going to happen.
What's
I know
that?
We've been talking about going to the Creation Museum. We have to do it. And now if there's going to be a Noah's Ark there, oh, come on. How many times are you in your life are you going to get to say you've been on Noah's
Ark? I don't want to get stuck in the cave of woe. There's a lot of woe in that cave.
Right. Well, are you afraid I'm going to hit you over the head and leave you in the cave of woe?
I'm afraid you're going to like hit me on the head, like fucking change me into overhaul. What are they called? The overalls.
Overalls.
I was going to say overhauls.
Oh, you're such an urban douche.
What do I have to do with the country? I hate the fucking country.
Yeah, I know.
If there's not concrete constantly surrounding me, I can't deal with it.
Yes, I know. You are a landlocked.
I am fucking...
You're like Afghanistan. You're a landlocked sack of
shit. I am quite possibly the only Greek on the face of the planet who's been getting paler as I get older. I stay indoors. I go out. I stay in my fucking basement. I draw the windows shut. I don't like the sun. I don't care for grass. I don't want to go swimming. There ain't no mud holes I want to go to. I don't like getting dirty. Fuck you.
Fuck you. Johnny Couch Potato has spoken. God.
Give me the internet, some porn.
Lots of porn.
A couple of beers, maybe a couple of slices, and I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need a vacation.
That's it. John doesn't need a vacation.
No.
Vacation.
No. No.
Oh, God.
But I wish
all those studies that show that people need time off. Not John. John doesn't even sleep.
No. No. 4 hours max. The rest of the time, I'm fucking harassing assholes on Twitter.
On Twitter. Trolling the left-wing douches of the planet Earth.
Horrible stuff with these people.
So now.
Yes, sir.
Rolling on to the next.
Which
they
is?
Still.
Yes.
At this time, do not know what happened to Malaysian Flight 370. Holy God. Now,
honestly, what's going on with that?
Well, today, the Wall Street Journal or yesterday had an article that they feel that based on some information that they got, that it flew for another 4 hours after it stopped communicating with the towers.
Yeah.
And now, instead of hooking a right, they think it hooked the left and it went into like the Indian Ocean somewhere.
Right. So at the end of the day, they have no fucking clue.
They have no idea what happened to it. And this is, let me tell you, this is really funny to me because.
Funny, haha, funny?
No,
or?
Funny, douchey, strange, funny.
Okay, fair enough.
Strange, like the need for Noah's Ark.
there you go.
In fact, if Noah's Ark was out there, we could use it in the search. The, what's happening now is they seem to have like, I know what it was. I'm sorry. The Chinese said they had like a
satellite,
but that turned out not to be
turned
right
out
either.
To be bullshit.
So like now they really just
which
don't
makes
know.
You wonder what the fuck did the Chinese satellite find if it's not the plane?
What was that triangular big boozy in the water? But I think what's interesting here is, you know, because of the era we live in, everybody expects like, well, they should be able to find this thing like immediately. It's a big plane, and you realize like we're somewhat small at this point. Like we're not on top of
The way the things are, that radar is only good for basically near the coasts. Like they don't have radar that goes indefinite. And really, when you go away from the land, you're depending on your transponder to send that data as to where you are.
Right, to ping it.
But somebody seems to have turned it off. Like that thing got shut off somewhere along the way because they lost track of it. And it's really weird. Like, I don't know. I've heard so many different theories.
Well,
that it was a hijacking.
Yeah.
That it was some
terrorists
sort of,
were fucking around with a bomb and it went off.
Right.
And
pilot suicide.
Well,
we
know that there were some fake passports issued and some
two
Iranian
of them.
Guys.
Yeah. Two of them.
Right. So we know that.
Yeah, which is very suspicious.
And the fact that they weren't able to send out any type of mayday or distress signal tends to suggest that something happened very quickly.
Yeah. So
that was beyond their control.
But it could have been like an explosive decompression.
Could have been.
You know, where that, like, it, like, cause it, and I'm just saying, like, let's say there's a hole in the roof of the plane at that altitude. You just, within 5 seconds, you're out.
Right.
You don't regain consciousness. So, but because they said it's weird, though, because the plane apparently flew in a straight line as if it were on autopilot.
Yeah.
So that kind of suggests that, like, maybe something like that happened where everybody on the plane passed out at the same time. Do you remember, like, when, who was it? Was it Payne Stewart's? Was he the golfer? I forget. But there was a golfer who was on a private plane, and that happened to them. Like, somehow, the cabin decompressed, and they all died instantly. So then you just had this plane flying over the center of the United States about 10 years ago that was just on autopilot, and they were waiting for it to run out of gas.
Yeah.
Because everybody on the plane had died almost instantly.
Yeah.
So theoretically, and I couldn't tell you what would have caused that, but theoretically something like that could have happened.
Yeah.
To your point, if there were terrorists on board who set off a bomb either accidentally or purposefully.
Well, everybody's putting everything out there now.
Yeah.
The internet is a bug.
Even the conspiracy theorists are out.
UFO
did you hear the
people.
Latest one? Well, the UFO people are just nuts, but did you hear the one that it was hijacked?
Oh.
They purposely turned off the transponder so it couldn't be tracked,
oh.
and that they think it may have landed in
Pakistan
or
something,
and then they're just going to refit it and fly it into a building again.
Right, and the passengers are being held hostage
right.
or something stupid.
Right. Now, as goofy as that sounds,
you don't know at this point.
Yeah.
I personally think they're eventually going to find it, and unfortunately,
a crash somewhere,
they'll find something.
You know what I've always thought is weird? So we have all this technology, right?
Yeah, that's just it.
Why does the black box...
Right.
need to be recovered for that data.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't it transmitting that data to the cloud, you know, to be stored on a server in the cloud?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you have a satellite link that constantly fed that data so you wouldn't have to find the physical black box? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they don't find it. When they do find it, it's been in salt
forever.
Water for so long
right.
that it's destroyed.
Right.
Like, I think we have the technology now...
Right.
That thing could be sending stuff literally over the internet as the flight is happening. So it's stored somewhere on a computer. So you don't have to find the physical one. You could always
right.
just go back
you could
and
just
check
go
it.
Back and download whatever you need. Yep. Yeah.
If it hasn't been invented, I claim that as my own. But yeah, but that's horrible, though. Can you imagine, like...
Yeah, if this was a member of my family was on that plane, I'd be beside myself.
You'd be losing your mind.
Yeah. And the Malaysian government's not helping. They're
none
just like incompetent
there.
Idiots. They don't know anything.
None of them seem to be over there. The Chinese government's like apparently withholding information.
I got to tell you, I'm a little suspicious of them. I'm a little suspicious. Remember whenever it was 10-20, they shot down a plane.
Is it because of their eyes?
No, it's because they eat. No, don't be stupid. It's because they eat dogs. No, but no, I'm a little suspicious what? That they, at first, they weren't like giving out any information. And didn't they shoot down a plane?
I'm sure they have at some point.
No,
yeah.
But like 10-20 years ago, wasn't there a big, I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember.
But wasn't there, I thought there was a big issue that they had shot a plane down. I'm starting to think
we shot down one too, right? A couple down.
Well, that's okay for us.
Yeah, of course.
What are you, a communist?
No.
But I'm thinking that I'm a person who's very much against conspiracies, but I'm thinking that maybe it's maybe like a military plane maybe shot it down or by accident.
You would have seen that debris. You would.
Yeah.
A plane gets shot by another plane. First of all, every time military jets are scrambled, everyone's following them.
Yeah.
It's the type of thing that I'm sure Japan would have picked it up or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at this point,
yeah. See, a passenger plane with its beacon off, nobody's looking out for it unless there's a mayday. No one's going to be looking out for it.
Right.
Fighter jets start going into areas where they're not supposed to, even if it's neutral sea. At the very least, they get followed. You know what I mean? So I don't think they were attacked by another plane.
Yeah.
Like, could it have been a surface-to-air missile? Maybe. I think, if anything, to me, there's the two most probable causes, potentially, in my mind, are...
Somebody
on the plane exploded a device, people died instantly, but somehow the plane was on autopilot. Because they said, for as long as they tracked it, it was flying in a straight line, which doesn't indicate a struggle, you know, like the plane would be going up
and
down.
Yeah, but it only flew for an hour.
Yeah, but if something like that happened, wouldn't you think that you would immediately, if you were following it at all, you know? So
you
it could
see
have
been that Twilight Zone episode where the plane goes back in time.
No,
oh yeah, that's a good one. They go through some kind of time warp. And you see the plane just. I know this is silly, but they people wake up and you see dinosaurs outside, and then they wake up again and they're at the World's Fair in 1939.
Did the dinosaurs have saddles on them?
Yes, they did. And there were these cowboys on them.
Yeah.
Going fuck you and the whole world.
And was there somebody by a whistle that kept going yabba dabba doo?
Yeah, his name was Ham or something.
Flintstone. Mm-hmm. Meet the Flintstones.
That was always my joke whenever they say, well, they always say that people and dinosaurs live at the same time. Yeah. I used to say, like the Flintstones.
Right, exactly.
But
Jesus wouldn't fuck around with that, so I would appreciate it if you would stop your blasphemy and just accept the word of the Lord to be the truth and salvation of your life.
I think that if Jesus were here right now and somebody said to him, you know, this world is only 4,000, I think he would throw up.
I think Jesus would bitch slap someone like that. He would look at him and say, didn't I give you a brain to think with?
Yes.
Ken Ham.
Ken Ham. I like how last week it was Phelps, now it's Ham.
Oh, well.
You're going after all the religious people, John. What's wrong with you? You actually believe in all this stuff.
I go after idiots is what I go after. I go after idiots.
Yeah.
It just so happens that those are the two biggest idiots in the last couple of weeks. It's like Fred Phelps Jr., Ken Ham.
Wouldn't it be great if Ham started following us on Twitter?
Dino Badala.
Fugelsang for a while.
Fugelsang's okay. He hasn't bothered me in a while. But fucking, like, Obadala's been... I don't want to say getting under my skin.
You keep talking about it. Let's not give him any more FaceTime, all right?
All right. Listen, if you're in the mood to follow somebody Muslim who isn't all that funny, go follow Dino Badala.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
And don't ask us how to spell that.
A college classmate of ours.
Yes. Let me tell you something. I was a lot funnier than him in college. I don't know how he got the career.
All right, Judah Larian, what else we want to cover this week? Anything else on your mind?
You want to talk about NFL free agency?
Sure, why not? Let's go back to our roots here.
That's right.
Who do you think's done the best so far? Day three of the NFL
Day three, free agency. Big frenzy. I guess, look, free agency, you never know if they're going to work out for you, but stipulating that ahead of time.
Given what we know.
I'm going to put the Broncos in first. You know, TJ Ward and DeMarcus Ware.
Nice.
And, the corner.
Aqib Talib.
I mean, you know, this is just.
They toughened up
because what happened is they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they got B-slapped and, you know, and.
B-slapped?
Yeah, John. Get with the times.
You mean bossy slapped?
B-slapped.
Biatch.
And look, Seattle, clearly their defense.
They beat them up. That's all there is to it.
The point is they looked at the defense and they said, well, our offense is fine.
Yeah.
They're going to lose Eric Decker. Who cares?
Right.
And, you know, so I'm giving it to them. Right. For those signings alone, I'm giving
they
it
were,
to them.
They were very key signings, all three. They toughened up that defense. I agree with you. I think the Broncos came out looking good. Listen, the Patriots, just for signing Darrell Revis.
Well, they're in a close second.
That helps them a lot. They replaced Aqib Talib. They get a great cover corner. And I think it was somebody on the NFL Network said, you have to, you know, the Patriots don't overpay for anybody. Like, right. They just have their values, and they never budge one inch off of them.
Right.
But someone made a good point that said, Bill Belichick will pay for what he thinks is Hall of Fame players.
Right.
He won't do it for good players, but he'll do it for Hall of Fame players. So, for example, he always pays Brady, right?
Well, he has to.
Up until this year, he paid Will Fork because he knew he was a really great Hall of Fame caliber nose tackle.
And when those guys like Seymour and Bruschi were there, they paid them.
Yeah, until they got old and said, see you later. Darrell Revis is a Hall of Fame corner based on his cover skills, and he's saying, I want a Hall of Fame corner for $12 million. Now he's got him, you know, we'll see how that goes. So I think the Patriots on that alone did well.
Interesting thing with Revis, I saw something in the paper today that said he was actually interested in coming back to the Jets.
I don't know how much of that is true, though. No. And how much of it was just to get the Patriots to pay him?
No, this is post the signing. There was an article today that said he was actually interested in coming back and that the only person on the Jets who wanted him back was Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
So apparently Idzik and they were like done with it.
You know? Right. Well, the other thing is that people don't want to have guns held to their heads. And for better or worse, Darrell Revis is one of the toughest negotiators for his own career. No. Like, he's always holding out. He's always bitching and complaining.
Right.
And actually, he's a great businessman. Look, he got $16 million out of the Buccaneers last year when the Jets traded him.
Yeah, he knows his...
And this year, he wasn't going to take a penny in a pay cut.
No.
So the Bucs...
There's no reason for him.
Right. So the Bucs had to cut him. They had to cut him. Right. They weren't going to pay him $16
million.
So what does he do?
Anyway.
Now he gets $12 million for 1 year, guaranteed.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Right? So, got to give it to Revis.
So, Broncos, yes. Patriots, yes.
Yeah.
I think the Lions brought in a few.
They got a couple guys there. I don't know. I have to wait. They got Golden Tate, which I think is huge for them.
I think that's
huge
pretty good.
For them.
I think
but,
that's pretty
good. But, I don't know if, believe it or not, I think the Jaguars are picking up the right pieces here and there. I think the 49ers have done well for themselves, considering the position they're in. They signed Antoine Bethea.
But it's interesting also, Ari, on the flip side of all this, the teams that do nothing.
Yeah.
The Falcons have done nothing.
Who did they sign? They signed one or two guys. The Buccaneers have signed a couple of good people.
Yeah.
They've decided that they're getting rid of the trash from last year.
The Saints cut a lot of people, too.
They had to. They were in horrible cap situation. They traded Darren Sproles. Yeah. At least they got a fifth rounder for him because they would have had to cut him otherwise. Lance Moore they cut. They're going to be in the. They're going to be. They're probably going to lose their center, De La Puente, whatever his name is. They're probably going to lose him. But a lot of other teams are very quiet. You know, the Packers have been very quiet.
Yeah. The Bears have been quiet.
They got rid of Peppers, but they signed. They signed another defensive lineman. I can't remember his name right now. But they signed another defensive lineman. Was it Anthony Jones?
Something.
And the Jets signed Derek Decker, which they had to do. I mean, I know the quarterback isn't what he's used to, but they had to do that.
And the Texans haven't really done much.
Yeah, they're still trying to decide what to figure out. The other thing is the teams that are going to be sitting at the top of the draft, now they're kind of like, well, what do? Do we trade our picks down? How does that affect our free agency? Do we want to have cap space? I think the Browns are spinning their wheels.
That's one of those organizations.
Right, they got rid of DeQuell Jackson. They let T.J. Ward go, and who did they replace him with? Older versions of the same guys.
Right.
They replaced him with Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner. So they basically got the same players they let go, just older. Now, unless they were looking for an attitude change, whatever, you know, I don't know.
But their problems are bigger than that. They got rid of their whole front office that they just brought in like a year ago.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
That kind of inconsistent. The Cowboys got worse.
They lost where? They lost Miles Austin. Who? He was past his prime, way past his prime. But, I mean, you also have, they lost Hatcher.
Yeah.
Jason Hatcher, their tackle.
He signed with the Redskins?
He signed with the Redskins. So not only did they lose him, he went to a division rival.
Right.
You can't be happy about that.
You can't be, if you're a Cowboy fan, you can't be happy about losing to Marcus Ware. You just can't.
Well, he's one of those guys you make an effort to keep. Now, whether they could have afforded him or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like somebody brought up a point. Look, we sucked with him. So we were like the worst rated defense with him. So
yeah,
can't get worse than that without him.
I guess.
So the question is, what are we going to do with that cap savings? You know, if I'm a Cowboys fan, what am I going to do with those cap savings becomes the big question. Other teams very quiet. You look at the Chargers not doing much.
Chargers didn't do very much.
You know, the Vikings have signed a couple of people.
They have big problems, though.
Well, of course they do. They, but you know, they've got some pieces. You know, they just need to find the right
Chiefs
quarterback.
Chiefs haven't done much. They did a lot last year, though.
Yes, yeah, so I don't know what their cap situation is because of last year's moves. But they're a solid team anyway. Yeah. I mean, they don't need that much.
I didn't hear much from Arizona, but I know they brought in one or two.
Yeah, they might sign.
And what about our Giants, John? Are you?
Nah. Every year, you kind of think the Giants might do something in free agency, yeah, and then you realize they don't because that's just not the way they operate.
Yeah.
They may find one or two guys that they're going to get at a bargain.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're probably going to end up signing one of the free agent centers just because they're desperate. They need one.
Yeah.
If they find a tackle or a guard that they think they can plug in there effectively.
Well, they signed that guy Schwartz.
Schwartz, who was, you know, he's basically a backup for the Chiefs. You know, he wasn't really a starting caliber player.
Was he on the Panthers last year?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he was.
Was he?
Yeah.
I know he started out with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I know. I think he finished with the Panthers. Yeah. But
He's a part-time player.
Rashad right Jennings could be a
part-time player, too, in my opinion. The guy's never carried more than 200 times in a year, so I don't see him being the answer. So
they kept Beeson. That's good.
Ah. You know, he's okay. I mean, they had to keep him, and I mean, he's okay.
Well, look, they got him for a seventh.
Yeah,
pick.
He's not it's a not savior, them. You know, so I mean, you have to take things into consideration, not just with the Giants, but with any team. You know, a lot of times people get stoked about like, oh, we signed so-and-so. So-and-so isn't going to put you in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And
they've actually just spent most of the time actually keeping a lot of their guys.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that thinks like you got to make moves to be in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Whether it's this year or next year, 2 year window is all you get with me. If I'm a fan, like, okay, you got to get rid of a lot of salary cap casualties this year so you could be good next year. Fair enough. I'll give you the 1 year to recover if I'm a fan. You know, right. Show me that you're moving towards a positive space. That's why right. I like the 49ers. I don't root for them, but I like their organizations. I like the Patriots organization from that perspective. The Broncos with John Elway. They've done the 49ers.
I think the Steelers.
Yeah, but they usually do, but they've hit some tough times because the guys they've been picking up haven't been panning out. But I mean, look at the Broncos. They were in the Super Bowl. And they're saying, that's it. We're going for it again while we still have Peyton Manning.
While we still have a window with Peyton Manning, yeah.
Right. So they went out and made some aggressive moves. Look at the 49ers. They traded for that guy from the Dolphins, Jonathan Martin. They traded for Blaine Gabbert, who people
he
go,
sucks.
Well, he sucked with the Jaguars. But he was a former first-round pick. A lot of people thought he was the best quarterback of that draft. And now he's going to a team with a quarterback guru as the head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Mm.
So now you're sitting and saying, look, they did wonders for Alex Smith.
You think they tried to get rid of him?
Who?
Harbaugh.
Eventually, Harbaugh's going to wail out his welcome because, from what I could tell, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be a brilliant coach, but he fucking pisses everybody off.
Yeah, he annoys everyone.
He annoys him. He's an annoying little bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen how he treats referees during the game?
Oh, okay.
Like, everything is a blown call. Everything's a complaint. You know, it's like people don't want to deal with that shit. And and I don't know for a fact, but I'm assuming that he's probably the same way in the locker room.
Yeah,
you know? So eventually he's going to wear out his welcome and he's probably going to go somewhere else and resuscitate some other shitty franchise like the Browns or something, you know?
Yeah. See, the problem with the Giants is I saw something with the GM there, and Jerry Reese, and he said, we have to get younger. I remember he said that. So, like, the Schwartz guy is like 26 or something, so he's not too old or something.
Yeah.
Rashad Jennings, they kept Beeson because he played well. They kept Josh Brown.
The thing is to get younger while not sucking.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that the Giants have accomplished that.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy with what they've done. I'm not happy. Yeah, Tuck is gone. The only person I consider to be a real loss is Linval Joseph. Everybody else, like, they lost Keith Rivers. All right, that didn't work out. Who
Justin
cares?
Tuck.
Tuck. That's an emotional thing.
Yeah, they had to let him go.
He's past his prime. I mean, you know.
They had to let him go. Yeah. I'm glad they let him go. You know, you can't overpay for guys like that anymore in today's NFL because it's just, you can't afford to be decent. You know, it's a sad statement, but you can't afford. And that's why the Patriots are successful. Vince Wilfork has been a prime player for them for 10 years. They insulted him, and he basically said, release me. Yeah. Just release me. Give me a chance to find another job. Just release me.
Yeah.
Because, like, apparently they insulted him by saying, like, to take a pay cut after he came back from an injury, and he played hurt last year, and the guy's been a warrior for them. Actually, he's been one of my favorite players.
I'd like to have him.
I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, to be honest with you, but, I mean, especially coming off that type of, which I think he had an Achilles injury. I'm not 100% sure.
No, he had a Popeye's injury.
So I don't know what's going on with him, you know, but it's interesting. I love this part of the NFL year. You know, I love it when teams are maneuvering and then you got the draft. So it's interesting to see the strategies that go behind these things. And always fun to see the same teams fuck up over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like the Browns, the Jaguars. How many top five, top seven picks have the Jaguars had?
The Jets.
And then end up with nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Horrible. But anyway, Judo Lariam, enough of football.
Okay.
Does that sound like about it for this week?
That's a wrap.
It's a wrap?
That's a wrap. We covered the plane. We covered the NFL.
Plane
we
NFL.
We talked about left-wing assholes and censorship. We talked about the tank cream. No, that was another one.
The bossy ban.
The bossy ban.
We talked about a lot of stuff.
The bossy ban, I'm not too worried about because I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
All right. We've given our ungrateful listeners enough, I think, this week. So, on that note, Judo Lariam.
Yes.
Until we meet again next week, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Lariam.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Lariam. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.